Pulp MX Network production.
EVS Sports brings you a cheeky Brit and an American YouTube racing sensation weekly on the LVK More Than Moto podcast. Here's your hosts, Lewis Phillips and Kellen Brower.
Oh yeah, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the EVS Sports LVK More Than Moto podcast. I'm Kellen Brower from MotoOnline.com, Lewis Phillips from Vital MX joining me in the studio again today. He almost wanted to do this one remote. He's been a little bit busy this week, as have I.
But I requested to do it remote.
I know. You don't like me anymore or what? What's going on?
My setup was all ready. I could have just knocked this out.
Could have knocked it out, but it's better when we're in studio, I think, because it's actual conversation.
Yeah. That intro was weird.
Why?
Oh, yeah.
You know why I do that, though?
Why?
Because I said start the show every time. And someone in the comments last week said, I can't do that because it's Weege's thing.
Well, yeah, don't do, oh, yeah.
Okay, so we'll have to change it up next week. I don't know what I should say.
Well, not to get into business with Lewis ridiculously early.
Stop it.
But I read a book about podcasting and marketing and just like the whole shebang.
Mm-hmm.
What you're meant to do is you're not meant to start with hello, welcome, yeah, or any of that. You're meant to start with like statements.
Statements, yeah.
So like now I try and start podcasts with like, I can't think of an example without like a subject, but you know what I mean.
Well, we are on the Steve Mathis podcast network, and Steve starts pretty much all of his podcasts by saying yeah too. So
you
I don't know.
Follow and you'll never.
Right. So we're starting with statements next week, episode 12.
Well, no, because I read this book, Kellen, so I do that.
Okay, so you're going to start the show next week.
No, just because you didn't read the book, so you're not qualified to do that. I did not read this book to make you a better podcaster.
All right, whatever, Lewis. How are you? I finally saw you again this weekend. We both were in Seattle.
What do you mean you finally saw me again?
Well, it had been a while. Wednesday. Oh, I guess we did the show right before. Yeah, I forgot about that. But you were in Florida. We didn't go to races together. I don't know. It's been a minute.
Yeah, you're on a very part-time schedule, aren't you?
Part-time, yeah. Very part-time.
Yeah, I've done them all so far.
Yeah, you have?
I was tempted to go to a GP and miss a Supercross, but it's a big deal for me that I want to do all 17. I don't know why. OCD maybe, I don't know, but I really do not want to admit, like, I have to do all 17 to like mentally check a box in my head.
Okay, and then you'll do like what, 5 outdoors to compromise?
I'm missing High Point.
Missing High Point.
The Majora.
Probably going to miss High Point too would be my guess.
So that's the Majora weekend.
A bunch of us aren't going to High Point.
Yeah, because Steve's coming to Majora with me.
Yep. But yeah, it was good to see you again and be back in the press box together and have the usual banters.
I was pleasured to see you.
Pleasured. Here we go with that again. All right, so if you're new to the show, you haven't been with us before, we are going to go over 6 topics today. Two of them are non-moto, which is what the More Than Moto part of this show is. So that one will be kind of sprinkled throughout. You'll hear that. And new thing we're trying this week is, in the past, I would just have like a buzzer on my phone that ended our time because we try to keep it to 7-minute time constraints. But this week, I'm going to have a timer so I will know how much time we have left on a topic or whatever. And I don't know, maybe you can see the screen too.
I can see it very clearly.
Okay, very good. So we'll know when the time is up, but we're not going to have a noise play. I think it'd be better.
Yeah, I feel like we just need to calm down.
Just calm down?
Yep.
Okay, so yeah, we're going to calm down. Let's get into the topics. But before we do that, big shout out, of course, to EVS Sports for bringing you guys this show every single week. Experience the pinnacle of knee protection and injury prevention with the EVS Web Eclipse Knee Brace. For over 39 years, EVS has relentlessly honed their engineering expertise, consistently delivering award-winning knee braces. This legacy of excellence is embedded in every facet of the new Web Eclipse, which represents the culmination of their tireless dedication to innovation and rider safety. Use code LVK30 to save 30% off today. Also, a big shout out to Nomura for presenting the show, the leading provider of engine components for motocross, ATV, UTV, and personal watercraft for over 2 decades. Nomura has been the preferred choice for premium and dependable engine components for more than 20 years. Whether you're restoring your vintage bike, rebuilding your four-wheeler, or upgrading your new 450 race motor, Nomura has you covered. Our extensive line of cast and forged pistons, connecting rods, gasket kits, engine valves, and soon cylinder kits that enhance your engine's performance. Keep an eye out for our new and innovative products in 2024 and beyond. Stay up to date by following us on Instagram @Nomura_technologies. And a shout out as well to Racetech Suspension. For 40 years, Racetech has been supplying the motorcycle industry with high-quality suspension components made right here in the USA. From modern to vintage, Racetech is your go-to source for suspension performance. They will also have a Racetech fan topic coming up here in just a moment. But let's jump into our first topic of the day. Cooper Webb gets the win over the weekend, and it was a really, really good race between he and Chase Sexton, mixed with mistakes caused by the racetrack. And Cooper got the lead, Chase got it back, Chase stalled. It was so up and down, and you know, mistakes aplenty for kind of really both of them. I think Webb, maybe as he put it, made the least mistakes on the night. But what we want to talk about in this one particularly is, depending on who won that race, Cooper does win, but if Chase had won or Cooper, who do you think gains more by winning that race? Because Cooper gains on Jet in the points, but Chase has been in a kind of a rough hole with trying to figure things out with his bike, so a win could have been huge for him too.
Well, let me completely blow your question out of the water and tell you that I believe Chase gained more from his second place than Webb did from the win.
Explain.
How is that not obvious? Well, I did a 6-minute interview with him after the race.
Yeah.
How long was yours?
Well, Lewis, it's, you know, we always discuss how long your interviews are, and I walk up to Chase as soon as you're done, and he says, "Yes, can you make it quick? I'm trying to catch a flight."
It wasn't my fault.
It wasn't?
He started talking about MXGP in the interview, so then we just did that. I feel like it was quite obvious talking to Chase after the race that the result didn't really matter. He just felt like himself to a degree, and that's what's been missing. I feel like that's what's been eating away at him thus far this year, just the fact that he knows that he doesn't feel like Chase Sexton. And I feel like we didn't really see Chase Sexton in the mid part of the season so far. It was more Birmingham. For some reason, this sticks out in my mind. Birmingham, there was a little pocket at the end of the long rhythm that he was just doing beautifully. And it was so Chase Sexton. And I said to him afterwards, I was like, I saw Chase. Like, it was there. And then Indy, there was two laps at the end of the second main event where, again, I was like, that's Chase. And then Seattle, it was that's Chase. So, like, point being, there's a trend of, like, Chase Sexton coming out more and more and more. And I feel like he finally realized that in Seattle. So the result didn't really matter. He could have crashed on the last lap and finished fourth. Okay, maybe he would have been pissed.
Yeah.
But I feel like in himself, this is massive.
Yes, I do agree that post-race, he was much happier than he's been in the past few weeks. And like you said, I just was feeling like myself again, which is good. But I think why I would maybe pick Chase is it mattering more to have won that race is because with the struggles that he's had, he, I think, needed a win mentally to, you know, kind of get back into a framework of like, okay, this bike and my, you know, own abilities can gel well together for an entire main event. To lead that race as long as he did and lose is going to be a mental chip that he's going to hold on to for a long time now.
Yes, that is exactly what I thought and said to him before I interviewed him. And then he basically turned my thinking around. I went up to him and I went, I guess you're not happy. Like, off record, I went, so you're obviously not happy. And he was like, no, I'm stoked. And I was like, well, I was like, but I thought you'd be pissed that you like came so close to winning and you didn't. And then he went into the like, no, this is good. Like,
okay,
I'm happy. So I completely agreed with you 100%. I felt like he would be like, for whatever reason, it's not working out. I was so good and I was so close, but it still wasn't a win. But it seems like, no, I don't feel like that's the case. But I will say that I would guess that it eats away at him that he's had one win across 11 rounds because he's Chase Sexton. Mm-hmm. He could have won 10 of the 11 rounds. He's that good.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that in his head, he's like, yeah, I'd quite like to get that win tally up. But I believe that what happened in Seattle was evidence that is coming, so he can take comfort from that.
Sure, but again, like you said, I think he's like, okay, I won San Francisco, but almost everyone looks at that as like a wash because it was the most mud race that we've had this year. Like, I'm sure in his mind, he's even thinking that a little bit, as much as some people probably are saying that. So he wants to win like a normal race. And not saying Seattle was normal, but when you lead that long and you have the ability to win and don't and can't convert on it, I think that's what's frustrating to him. Do you think, though, as he said, the rear brake was bent out after he landed on the tough block in the rhythm section, like halfway through the main event, which caused his second stall in the rut because it clipped the rut, and that's why he stalled the bike. Do you think that in his own mind, he's like, I have a reason I lost. Like, otherwise, I would have stomped that race no problem.
Yeah, I believe he can tell himself he was the best guy.
Yeah.
And honestly, I believe that he was. Because, okay, maybe Jet was the fastest guy, but Jet wasn't the best guy because he made so many mistakes. Yeah, save for a couple of mistakes, I feel like Chase can walk away from there and go, okay, I'm the man again.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see how that conveys to St. Louis, because Jet will want to prove a point. Cooper will want to kind of build on Seattle, as will Chase. So I feel like all of those riders are coming in like, I'm going to prove a point this weekend.
Right. Getting on the topic of Cooper, so he obviously gains 5 points on Jet. It goes from 21 down to 16. And I think before Seattle, there was kind of the sense that this championship has gotten out of hand in a hurry to the favor of Jet, right? Like, he's almost a full race distance up. This now pulls it to not half race distance, but it's much closer to that, to the point where if Jet has a really weird round, a big mistake, a crash, something like that, suddenly Cooper's right back in this. Do you think that because that gap is just five closer, it totally changes the complexion of this title because of it?
No, I don't. I still view it exactly the same way. But if the gap shrinks again in St. Louis, then I'm open to having that conversation.
Okay.
But right now, I'm like, it was one weekend. Jet could quite easily just bump that back up this weekend, couldn't he? Like,
yeah.
That's the reality. Whereas if the Jet mistake trend carries over to another week, then yeah, okay, you can start to ponder, I think.
Getting back on the topic of confidence, though, or how big this win was for each rider's confidence, with Webb, you know, Indy wasn't necessarily his fault with the Cade situation, but none of the three main events ended up being, or three races ended up being, as good as he would have ideally liked them to be. So getting back on track and winning in Seattle for him has to be massive for his own, you know, mental stability with that, right?
Yeah, and also, but it's weird that we've got a Triple Crown so soon after the most recent one. So, like, seeing as Indy didn't go well for Cooper, is he going to go into St. Louis and be like, I hope this one goes better?
He won the first Triple Crown of the year, though.
That's true.
So, I don't think Cooper ever lacks, like, self-confidence, but I think for him, just, like, being pissed off from how Indy went, this was like, yeah, that's Cooper Webb right there. That's what I am. I can do that every week.
Yeah, but I don't believe that Seattle was a result of him being pissed off because of Indy. Not at all.
I think that sound just made a noise. When we tested it, it did not make a noise. So I apologize that it's...
I heard like a very faint...
I think it was in my headphones doing that. That's fine. Yeah, I'll try to make sure that doesn't happen
again. No, it's fine. Let's have a noise.
Oh, okay, well, people were sick of the noise last week.
Yeah, but it's because it was your phone and it wasn't connected, so it was a faint... Like, you couldn't really decipher what it was.
Yeah.
If it's an actual buzzer, then it's obvious.
Fair enough.
Business with Lewis.
So we think that both of them kind of came out with a win
on
the confidence department. He wins the Triple Crown.
This weekend.
Okay. Even though Jet swept the last Triple Crown, and I mean, dude, at one point in the main event at Seattle, we're like, oh boy.
Chase wins this weekend.
Just because Midwest, close to home.
No, because I believe that now, in hindsight, we were all ignoring just how bad his starts were. And if those are fixed, which I do believe they are, Triple Crown format, starts important, confidence from Seattle, I believe that Chase comes out swinging this weekend.
Let's say in Indy, Jet and Kenny started more or less 1-2 each of the three main events. Kenny passed Jet early.
Yep.
Sometimes Jet started right in front of him. And all three of them, Jet had the upper hand and won. If Chase and Jet do that in Indy, does Chase win?
Yes.
Interesting.
Chase is Jet's biggest competitor.
Okay.
That's for the title.
Yeah.
That's my stance.
Wow.
What?
Right over Cooper Webb.
No, not at all. They're right there. The points difference between Cooper and Chase is basically insignificant.
I thought it's like 8 points or something.
Five?
Is it five?
I thought it might be eight, actually.
Yeah.
Because I think Chase is
24 back. Isn't he?
No, I don't think he's 20. That far.
Really?
Actually, no, it must be, because I think he was... No, I think it's 23.
Not a math pod.
It's a business pod, though.
Oh, here we go. Back on that again. Okay, so they both won in the confidence department. We'll just stick with
Chase
that.
One more.
Okay, chase one more.
In the confidence department.
All right, on to topic number two. And we debated Eli Tomac in two previous episodes this year already.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get back on to the Eli Tomac topic again this week, but it's a different approach because now we're at the point where we don't know if this is the swan song or not because he won't say it. And so we're down to potentially the last six races of Eli Tomac's career or
if
not.
If you had to bet right now, are these the last six races of Eli Tomac's career?
I'd put money down on both odds, but I'd probably put more money on, yes, it's the last six of his career. Eli Tomac has not had a podium since Daytona, and it hasn't looked particularly great since Daytona either in some departments. The heat races have been good, but the main events haven't been good, and really in Seattle it was the start was not good. I mean, almost dead last through the first turn. Does Eli Tomac, we debated, does Eli Tomac win a race this year? Does Eli Tomac get on the podium for the rest of the year or not?
Well, you left out the key reasoning behind this.
I'm letting you explain that.
Oh, because you're letting me take credit for my research.
Yes.
Oh, what a correct business move of you. So Tomac is currently sat on 99 podiums in the 450 SX class. So the next one is the big one, the big 100. So yeah, the question is, does he get 100 before the end of this year? And obviously, it is asinine to sit here and say that Eli Tomac cannot have a podium across the next six races.
Mm-hmm.
He probably, most likely, almost definitely will. But the reason that I raised this is I do believe there is some cause for concern because in reality, he has not even sniffed the podium since Daytona. So I believe it is a valid point of discussion. That's all it is, a point of discussion. It's no hate comms. It's no anti-Tomac speech. It's just a discussion. Just a discussion, Kellen.
Okay. I'll go one step further in this discussion, though, and say that not only do I think Tomac still gets a podium before the season's done and gets 100, I still think he wins a race, personally speaking. I know that that's probably a bit out there given what's happened the past few weeks, but I still am seeing the signs. Heat races, qualifying went really good this weekend for him. Like, the speed is there. And start aside, like, if he starts with those guys, I think, in Seattle, he stays with them. He spent so much energy going from 19th to 6th in that race. By the time he was on Kenny, you could tell he was like, okay, that's a lot. And I'm 31 years old now or whatever. So, like, I just think that we are putting a little bit too much emphasis on recency bias, which is what we've done in this discussion before.
Yep.
I think it's going to take one good start and he's back.
Yeah, but I'm concerned about the starts because
there
has to be some other factor at play here, mentality, confidence, because Eli Tomac was the best starter that he has ever been last year. And now all of a sudden he's not even starting in the top 10? And you want to sit here and tell me that that's just because, oh, he got a bad start? I'm wondering what's going on in that head of his. Is it a case of him wanting a start so much that it's almost counterproductive? Is it a confidence issue?
I
believe both of those.
So when you remember I used to do a show when I was at Racetrax called Race Examination?
Yes.
There was a time in 2020 and 2021 where every week it was like, why did Eli get a good start or not? Like on that show, like I seriously broke it down, analyzed it or whatever. Cause there was rounds like, I think even St. Louis 2020, he went into the first turn in dead last place and he still won the title that year. So I think it is probably a confidence thing, as you put it, but I think it's also an Eli Tomac thing. He has had these like, what the heck was he doing off the start his entire career?
But has he ever had this many in a row? Without any glimmer of hope.
Yes, because at the Salt Lake 7 in 2020, there was like three rounds in a row where it was awful start, and then he whole shot like Salt Lake 4 or something like that. And what I noticed when I was reviewing that with what he's doing is he's not the type of guy where if he's bar to bar with someone, he will put an elbow out and go in. He'll back off and let them go into the corner and see if he can tuck to the inside. And like 95% of the time for him, it doesn't work. He gets stuck behind someone, whatever, gets stood up, almost goes down, whatever. Like that's what was happening to him consistently. So He's the type of guy that if he doesn't have the jump and he's side by side with someone, he'll let that person go. I think there's six rounds left. This is a triple crown, so there's technically nine starts left. I think that there's one time that he gets it right. He has the elbow on everyone. He gets to the corner in the top three or four, and he has the speed to go up front and win.
Okay, rebuttal. Aside from Daytona and Anaheim 2, the final main event, Eli Tomac has not run up front this year, as in battled at the front of the pack, diced it up. Correct?
Not off the top of my head. That
I don't count Arlington because he came forward. So like, it's not like he started up front and just absolutely juked it out, you know?
Yeah.
So when he does that again, is there going to be some rust? Is it going to be a bit like, okay, I need to relearn what I'm doing when I'm battling with Chase Cooper Jett from the drop of the gate? Because when you think about it, and you know what? I will ask him about this if he's on press day. It won't go well. He'll laugh in my face. 100%. He'll do his... before the answer. But I will say to him, like, when you start up front again, are you going to have to relearn the intensity? I would say he would, wouldn't you?
That's bold to ask someone who's won 52 races, but I appreciate it.
No, but is it bold? I'm not saying that he's forgotten or he can't do it. I'm just saying that it's been not in his program for so long now that maybe it's a bit like, oh...
Yeah, I don't think I would go that far. I think that...
Okay, I'm not going to ask him that then, because he hates us.
You can ask him that question, but...
No, I'm just going to ask him, hey, Eli, how'd you like St. Louis?
No, I would, yeah, ask him, but I think that his response will be like, no, I've done this plenty of times before, it'll just come right back. If that's how you would take it, but that's exactly what he's probably going
to
say.
Yeah, but so. I would say that a better response to put... If he's going to answer with that, a better response would be, well, obviously I've done it a lot, but yeah, not so much this year, so who knows, I guess.
Yeah. We went back and forth a little bit about does he end after these final six rounds and his career is done. If he continues, like let's say he decides to continue racing, is it to race outdoors and SMX or is it to be ready for 2025 Supercross?
I could see him skipping outdoors, doing SMX, and then doing 2025 Supercross, but also I really can't see that because realistically, we all felt that he was going to retire, or there was a good chance of him retiring at the end of 2021.
Yeah.
And then we were all almost certain at the end of 2022, and then almost certain again last year. So I'm of the opinion that we have stretched this out for so long that are we really going to stretch it out again?
I don't know, man. We talked about this last week. Like, I don't know when these guys are going to retire.
If you're Eli's family, do you not say to him, like, you've given yourself one more shot so many times. How much, like, do you really want to do that again?
I don't know. I mean,
that's a good question for him.
I guess.
Will he punch me for that as well? That is a good question for him. Like, don't tell me if you're retiring. I don't care. This isn't a question about retirement before you scoff. But, like... You've extended your career by one more year so many times. How do you kind of stop that? What is it going to take for you to go, okay, I don't want to do that again?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's a fair question, but
if I watch Moto Online's press day interviews and any of these questions come up, I'm going to roundhouse kick you in the face.
It's a free country, Lewis. But we've seen this with everybody. Dude, Ryan Dungey came out of retirement after like 5 years.
Yeah.
So when is it going to be enough? Every rider is like, I retire or I think about retiring and I don't know what I'm going to do post-career, so let's go another year. Like that happens with so many guys in this sport and I don't think Tomac's unique.
No, I don't think it's unique, but I just like when you consider that a lot of us thought that he would retire in 2021, if he's still racing in 2025, that's quite incredible.
I guess, yeah, but I don't know. I think I could see it. Like, I really do.
I swear to God.
Because I think his demeanor right now, from what I'm watching with how he's reacting to everything that's going on, is not that he comes off the track and goes like, yeah, I just didn't have it tonight or whatever. It's like,
I would agree.
What the hell is going on? I need to fix this.
Yeah,
like,
which explains...
This is not how my career ends, which
also explains the starts to me. Because in my mind, he's going to the start going... What the hell is going on? I need to fix this. Focus, 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 and then overdoing it.
Well, sure.
You know the old saying, if you're struggling with starts, don't practice starts for a week. And then it'll, like, you know, it just kind of I do believe that with starch, you can over-egg it a little bit, mentally and technique-wise.
Okay, so podium or not? Does he get 100?
Yes, obviously.
Yes, obviously.
But
okay.
It's a valid... I'm not doubting it, but it's a valid talking point based on the current trend. He has just finished outside of the top five for the third successive week. That has not happened since late 2016, rounds 12 to 14.
Yeah.
It's a valid point. That's all I'm saying.
It's fair given the last few rounds, for sure. No question about it.
So. Clearly, he does not finish out of the top five this many times, and it wasn't because of a crash or anything like that.
Yeah.
These were straight up finishes outside the top five.
Fair enough. All right, let's get into our next topic because we went a little long on the first two ones at this point. But it's our Race Tech fan topic of the week. We asked some people on Twitter, X. I don't know if people are calling it X, but I still call it Twitter, to send us in some topics. So we took one this week that is going to be a non-moto topic. And there's a few questions in there that we'll probably push because I think that they're a little bit better to use.
Start with the debate that we just had before we went live.
Okay. But anyway, so at Dumb Race Fan wants to know, how do you choose what hotel you are going to stay in? Price, location, hotel company? Because every single weekend we have to stay in a new place or figure out where we're going to stay for these rounds. And so let's start with this debate that we had before the show. Because
let's completely disregard that.
No. This has to do with it.
Okay.
Because before the show, we're discussing, okay, you're flying in here, you're doing this or whatever. And the last two weekends, you've stayed downtown. I think it's a common thing for you.
No, it's not common because it's normally too expensive.
Oh, okay. Well, you're staying downtown again in St. Louis. I am not. I am staying near the airport. And I tend to like doing that because it's easier to get in and out with my flights and stuff like that and not have to plan around traffic or something stupid like that at the race. And then I can just control my own destiny because I get a rental car.
Control my own destiny because you have a rental car. Fuck me. Do you work for Avis Marketing?
No, I'm saying because...
Avis,
if I
rent
want
a car, control your own destiny.
I get migraines, for example, right? And well,
now you're making me look like a dick.
No, I'm saying I get migraines, and if I happen to have forgotten my medicine at like the hotel that I use to get rid of my migraines, instead of having to rent an Uber to get all the way back to the hotel to then get all the way back to the stadium with another Uber, I can just get in my rental car, go get it, and come right back and park in the same parking spot I was.
No, so. But this is my point. I stay downtown if, A, the price is reasonable. Like, basically, if not having a rental car weighs up with the increased price of the hotel and it's basically the same, and I can walk to the stadium.
Yeah.
So, like Seattle, I Ubered to the hotel, and then I did not get another vehicle until I went to the airport. I just walked back and forth, and it was beautiful.
Okay.
Met some fans on my walk, saw some stuff.
Does it not bother you that the variation of Uber prices is can greatly affect how much that is in your budget analysis, though?
Business with Lewis, when I was making my bookings, I went on the Uber app at the time that I would land and put in the Uber to understand the cost. Business with Lewis.
Yeah, but it can vary on surge pricing. If something happens nearby in that location that they were not expecting, it can go up drastically.
It's a good enough indication for me, Kellen.
So we're talking about why we pick certain hotels. Because again, another thing that happens with us, I feel like, frequently than maybe you'd expect, is we stay in the same hotel as like the riders and like Feld personnel and like just a ton of people. Like we'll see athletes going up and down elevators. So it gives us an indication of where they are for a weekend as well and maybe what they're going through.
If I get in a hotel elevator with Chase and there's 31 floors, I'm just pushing every button. So we're on for the ride at that point. We're just... So how have you been?
All aboard the ship at that
point. How have you been?
Oh, boy. But yeah, I think most of us in the media, when it comes to selecting a hotel, like have a certain budget that we are trying to stay below. Like we don't just get, you know, the Grand Hilton downtown president suite or whatever. Like we're trying to remain pretty cheap on low budget with a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, like we've done it long enough where we know what, like I know what hotel is a reasonable price in St. Louis versus what is a reasonable price in Glendale.
Yeah.
Like, because it does change.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, like, St. Louis, the hotels are obviously a bit cheaper than other places.
Yeah.
And the same with, like, Indonesia. Indonesia, I stayed in, like, a 5-star hotel, and it was, like, $4 a night.
So, particularly for me in Supercross, I almost book everything through hotels.com when I get a hotel. And I usually try to, because I get a rental car, include free parking and include breakfast. Because Supercross, there's a decent chance we're not going to have to leave early enough that we don't get breakfast. Outdoors, I don't. I ignore including breakfast with outdoors hotels. The company I worked for booked our hotels anyway, but there's been a few outdoors that I've had to book my own hotels, and I ignore it because 9 times out of 10, we're waking up early enough that the breakfast isn't even served yet. So that's
I don't. I've never considered that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, never.
Yeah, because I try to, again, trying to save a little bit of money. If it comes with breakfast in the hotel, you don't have to stop at McDonald's or whatever and spend $15-$20.
I normally just don't have breakfast, to be
honest. Well, maybe that's why you're so frustrated in the mornings.
Who said I'm frustrated in the morning? you Australians are mean.
So what do you look for in a hotel then?
Well, if I can stay downtown and it's not, and I can walk to the stadium and it's not out overly expensive, I go for that.
Do you try to stay in the same sort of like, you know, Hilton or Hyatt?
People have told me to do that, but the prices fluctuate so much that I feel like it's almost impossible to do unless you're a rider. Right.
Because again, like I said, we're trying to stick within, like, I'm not going to say how much, but like a certain budget per night.
I've never in my life, no matter the company, been told a budget. I just know. Like I say, you just have a good idea of what is. And like sometimes I'm like, oh, that's an expensive hotel. But I've done enough research to know that there's not really a better option.
And another thing is a lot of the athletes that I've seen, are on rewards programs for flights, or some are for hotels and stuff like that. But you'd also be surprised how many just like seemingly buy, as we do, the cheapest flight or the best flight for getting them in and out quick enough to a location.
I am doing Delta this year.
Yeah, I mean, I've done Delta more than Southwest because those are the ones I fluctuate between. But I think generally speaking, like I do see riders on like did an American flight to like Dallas or something like that. And saw a bunch of riders on that I've also seen on Delta flights and so on and so forth. So again, it seems like we're all just kind of in this, let's try to find the cheapest, best option to get us into that race that weekend and the cheapest, best option to get us in and out of that race that weekend. And they probably do the exact same thing with the hotels.
Yeah. So the other debate?
What's the other debate? I forget.
About walking onto the plane?
Oh, yeah, because we had the same flight home this weekend, which we sat next to each other for 10 hours in the press box and didn't even realize until I walked up to the gate.
And I boarded before you because I'm in a better boarding group because I'm more important.
Yeah, great. You boarded in main one, and I boarded in the main 2-3 group. So that was massively different. And you sat in 3 rows in front of me, not in Comfort Plus or First, just a regular seat. Big difference. But I walked by you entering the plane. You never even looked up once.
I didn't know you were there. You just said it. I didn't look up. I didn't know you were there.
You just ignored me.
I didn't know you were there.
I could have had the biggest breaking news that I saw before I got on the plane, and you would have just ignored me.
I don't know what you expected.
Sad.
From me. Like, my head was down because I was on my phone, presumably.
I don't know what you're doing.
Well, obviously was on my phone.
You're probably asleep already.
No, I don't sleep on I don't know what you expect from me.
I don't know. Just what expect do you want me to do? Like nod or
see
something.
You look. Well, first of all, we were.
Nodded. I nodded. I passed Derek Drake entering the plane, and he nodded.
I didn't. I was talking to you 5 minutes before we boarded. So what do you want me to do? Go, hey, Kellen, how have you been?
Long time no see.
How's it going? If I had my head up and I'd seen you, then I probably would have head nodded, but I had my head down.
Well, we're supposedly going to take the same flights home this weekend and you don't want to sit by me. How come?
Why would anyone want to sit by you?
Oh, that's just mean. So I'm not going to sit next to you in the press box.
It's realistic.
Me and Steve are going to go sit somewhere else now.
Okay. We'll clip. Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
I'll sit with Kiefer.
Kiefer, yeah. That'd be great. But yeah, I think that's how we pick hotels. And
yeah, I just like being able. It's a privilege for me if I can walk to a stadium. Like, I get excited. Like,
it is nice. The only time I think I've ever stayed downtown was I wasn't even close enough to stay with.
Like that Indonesian MXGP with the hotel car park track. Mm-hmm. Remember that? Oh, it was a dream.
Well, but that was a dream because every rider and their mother just hung out in the lobby post-race. Yeah, so you could interview 9 people.
Do you know
people.
How good it is for the checkered flag to go out and you be in your hotel room a minute later?
Yeah, that's probably pretty
the
good, too.
The press room wasn't a tent. It was in the hotel. It was a conference room in a hotel.
Yeah.
So just... Whoop.
So you know what we really need back on the schedule is we need Toronto back on the schedule because the Toronto Stadium has a hotel connected to it.
Yeah, like, but surely that's crazy money.
I don't care.
Oh.
What if like?
Oh wow!
Well, so I'm saying like, what if you and I went in halvesies on a hotel for the weekend, and then we ended up having the same Okay.
I'd rather do a cardboard box on a street corner.
You're brutal, man. I don't mind staying in the same hotel as you. What's wrong with that?
Pass.
Oh, you're just mean, Lewis.
Pass.
So rude. All right.
See, now I've got to fucking do it. I was joking then. I wasn't being rude. Don't need to go at me at the comments. It was
banter.
A joke. I was taking the piss. We're all having a fun time.
People liked the British talk last week, too.
No, everyone hates everything.
All right. Before we get into our next topic, again, a quick shout out to EVS Sports. Experience the pinnacle of knee protection and injury prevention with the EVS Web Eclipse Knee Brace. For over 39 years, EVS has relentlessly honed their engineering expertise, consistently delivering award-winning knee braces. This legacy of excellence is embedded in every facet of the new Web Eclipse, which represents the culmination of their tireless dedication to innovation and rider safety. Use code LVK30 to save 30% off today. All right, next topic, Lewis, upcoming from Seattle on the weekend, and Levi Kitchen gets a big home state win, not hometown because he's like 3 hours from there, but home state win. Crowd was loving it. Talked to some fans. They said it was the loudest they've heard Seattle probably since Villopoto. So that was awesome. But, dude, Levi won this race rather dominantly, which we don't see much of in the 250 class anymore. Like even Jets wins maybe were not that far gone, and I know that the track had a little bit of help in how far things got away, but dude, he walked that thing home. Whole shot to checkered, no one really had anything for him. And does this kind of set us up for him stepping up and walking away with this title?
Maybe recency bias, but I am now confident enough to say that Levi Kitchen is the best 250 rider in America right now.
Okay, I don't know if I'm going to go that far.
Who would it be? Oh, here we go.
What do you mean?
Danger.
No. I don't think it's clear in a way that Levi is the best.
Okay, but I am now. I saw enough at the weekend where I am comfortable saying it.
Okay.
You?
No.
Who would be your guy?
I think it's very close. Like, and again, we're just talking about Supercross right now because outdoors, I don't think I would put Levi on that level. So indoors, no. I think that realistically, RJ is still close, which is why the debate is being had about this.
So you think Levi and RJ are the best 250 riders?
No, I'm saying on the coast.
No, I'm not talking about the coast.
Okay, overall, then yeah, I think that you can, and this is a topic we'll discuss before Nashville, but I definitely think that Deegan and McAdoo and Vial are comparable to what we're seeing on 250 West.
Yeah, I believe they are comparable, but after Seattle, I give Levi the advantage by the smallest of margins, but I am...
You just said clear in a way.
Yeah, clear enough there's a margin. Clear enough where I'm saying it. You talk now, you're making me feel stupid.
Okay, I don't think I'm quite there, because again, with Kitchen, like, remember when he was at Star, and the reason why I wanted to bring this topic up is that it would be like, eighth, win! Yep. Eighth. Like, now I feel like what he's done with his ride at PC is third, second, third, win by a lot, third, second. Like, I think that we're going to see that trend continue. Like, I would not be surprised going into the St. Louis Triple Crown if Hampshire wins going like 1-2-2 and Kitchen wins a moto, but someone else gets in there as well.
Yeah, I would bet now that for RJ, the only way to beat Levi is to basically outperform him.
Yeah.
Because we have seen enough where I do not believe that you can count on Levi finishing 11th or throwing it away. Like, he is just the safe, reliable pair of hands. That's difficult for RJ. I would go against what you said about St. Louis, because Levi has proven to be a Triple Crown master. I don't know what my two... like. Why are you criticizing it?
Hampshire's first career win like 2 years ago was a Triple Crown.
Yeah, and it was in St. Louis.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think it's not
outlandish. It should
outlandish
be really good,
say,
this weekend.
I think it will. I think
St.
It,
Louis dirt is great.
Do you think Jordan Smith sweeps?
I hope his chest is okay.
Yeah, hope his chest is okay. Dude, there was a lot of people that were upset that like his quote was like, I didn't hit my head.
I feel he should have been black flagged.
Really?
He was a danger. And not in the
other he's feeling
way.
Dangerous.
Not in the other way. he was in danger.
He said his handlebars are bent, and that track was gnarly. Yeah. If your handlebars are bent,
yeah. But he was he was not okay. That's fine, and I'm fine with that. And I'm not saying he was concussed, but he was not paying attention to his surroundings.
Can I say one thing about we're way off topic on the Kitchen thing, but the Smith thing with the handlebars being bent, and I'm not on his bike, so I don't know. But watching the crash back, I do think he knocked the wind out of himself. I did not see the bike hit the ground hard enough to warrant handlebars are severely bent. Like, he bounced off the bars and then rolled up the face of the next jump and it laid on a Yamaha.
Yeah, the bike actually really didn't even crash.
Yeah, so maybe another crash, like maybe when he got together with Yoder, or maybe when he got sideways in the rhythm and got taken down again. But at that point, he was already making so many odd mistakes that you'd be like, okay, well, then the bike's messed up or he's messed up.
Like, I don't, like, he, you saw when he almost collected RJ coming back onto the track.
Yeah.
I don't care if your bars are bent. That's you just not being aware of your surroundings. And at that point, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
And not in the other way.
Anyway, back onto.
Did you see the last corner?
Yeah, with him and Walsh.
Yeah, but I didn't really see it. I only saw, like, you know, I don't really have a clear picture on what happened.
There's like a video floating around of them. Like, it was like three guys going to the corner together and they just, a bunch of them banged bars and then him and Walsh laid on top of each other going up the finish, basically.
So it wasn't, like, concerning.
Side note, went out to Fox Raceway yesterday and Walsh crashed pretty hard. So hopefully he's okay.
Oh.
Anyway, continue.
He's had a rough go lately.
He has, yeah.
Shame, actually, because I feel like last year it was trending in a direction where you could have seen him, like, maybe getting a shot on a decent team.
Yeah.
Like, he was kind of the first non-factory guy in West last year before he got hurt. And I was, like, leaning towards the direction of maybe he gets, like, a fill-in at Pro Circuit. Or, you know, there was that talk.
Yeah.
And now it's just shit the bed.
Yeah. So back onto the kitchen topic. You think that he is the best 250 rider overall. So do you look at
the slimmest of margins?
Okay. Do you think 8 points up, this title is his? No question.
No.
No.
No, it's a toss up. And I think I go 70-30 Levi, 60-40.
Okay. 70-30 with, and then Hampshire would be the other. So you think Smith is out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 21 down, right? Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty far. Were you surprised Hampshire wasn't better this weekend then?
Yeah, but I felt like the 250 race was weird. Like, very early on, it just was settled. So there wasn't really any room for guys to be better than what they were.
Yes, but to your point, very early on, it was Kitchen Smith, RJ. 1, 2, 3 from like lap 4 or 5 onward, and RJ went from 5 seconds back to 20. So like he didn't stay with him in any capacity.
I didn't talk to RJ, but considering it now, it would make sense that maybe he was very aware of how gnarly the track was, and in the past maybe old RJ would have thrown it away, and then finished 11th. So maybe he was flirting on the edge of like, I want to go faster, but I don't want to crash, and like trying to manage that.
Yeah. Do you think that this was a Kitchen hometown advantage win?
No,
I don't think so either, because like Washougal hasn't been his best race of the year.
I don't believe that really exists.
Yeah. Because he even said post-race, I don't know if you saw this, he said that like it was actually nerve-wracking going around with the crowd being as loud as it was with him in the lead. So like,
well, he had such a big lead that like there was a lot of time.
No, like early in the race, like as he comes around as the race leader on lap one, he was like, oh my God, like this is loud and it's all for me. And he was like, this is nerve wracking. So.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah. Made me feel like we were watching Larry Ward win Seattle 99 all over again. So.
Yep.
Yep. The crowd was loud though. I don't know. Like we didn't hear it much in the press box because it's soundproof, but.
Yeah, it was loud.
Like, when you can hear the crowd through that, you know it's really loud.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
not any more than the norm for AP or Roxon.
Yeah, but I mean, those are way more like established guys. Like, I even asked some fans this weekend, like, do people in this area really know, like, Levi Kitchen? Because, like, I feel like people really knew that Villopoto was from Poulsbo and that, you know, Larry Ward is from Washington State and stuff like that. Like, do people really know Levi Kitchen is our hometown guy? And they were like, yeah, kind of. But they were like, he's also still so young and came into like his own so late that he wasn't like on everyone's radar. So,
and he's not the most like outspoken either.
Sort of, yeah. But I just think that, you know, the Pacific Northwest people really get behind their guys. And I think now that he's won the Seattle Supercross, like it's on.
Yeah.
Like, when he goes to Washougal this year, it's going to be really loud. No, I think it will be.
Okay, well,
okay.
Put a pin in that.
Put a pin in that. All right, let's talk about MXGP, Lewis. The Into Xanadu Arroyo Molinos round of the championship, round two in Spain over the weekend. And, Prado sweeps MXGP, basically, do we need to even talk about that? Not really. So let's go into MX2, because we've already talked about Lucas Kunin and what we think of him. So let's talk about the other Husky rider, Kaida Wolf, who is leading the championship, almost had a perfect weekend similar to Prado. And coming into the season, you know, you would theorize it's going to be Langenfelder. You think it's going to be Kunin. DeWolf will be good, but how good? Dude, he's been really good through two rounds. Like, this is better than we thought, right?
Yeah, it's unbelievable, to be honest. Like, I almost cannot get my head around the fact that he is this good. I was on the verge of almost writing him off after last year. For whatever, just, you know, like, it had been a while, one GP win in that time. There was so much hype early on, and it just wasn't really coming to fruition. But he looks so put together this year. It's unbelievable. Like, it is honestly, I cannot fathom how much better he is and just how he's still got that same wild style, but it's just better put together. That's the best way to put it. Yeah. And also, he normally sucks at hard pack GPs.
That's what stood out to me this weekend, is like, this would be a round where Kaida Wolf would normally go like 5-6 or whatever, like, and you would just see Langenfelder and Adamo and all those guys just be better on that surface. And he looked the part as them all weekend long. Like, he didn't look like he was uncomfortable. I know he crashed late in the second moto, but I didn't look at it and go like, oh my God, like, I'm watching Kaida Wolf send it to be good on this surface. You know?
Yeah, I would agree. And consider that the next round is the deep, deep sand. He should win again, in theory. It will be either him or Kunin who win, I would presume.
Yeah.
So he could start the season with a clean sweep of the first three rounds.
Because he's 12 points up already, right? And then because of the mixed bag, isn't Adamo like third, but he's already like 20-some points down?
Yeah, so, I almost felt like that was a mistake. I think it's a lot more than 20.
Is it really? Because he's on 113. On, oh, and Adama's on 83. On. So maybe it's 30 already?
I think it's 30.
Hold already? On. That's Hold crazy. But yeah, like you said, going to Real Estardo next, that is a sand round. And so, like you said, it's that's like basically DeWolf's backhand. He's going to know how to do really well on that. And we'd expect at worst him to be on the podium again, which means that after three rounds of this championship, he's already got a pretty comfortable advantage in the series. That's kind of gnarly to think about, given the prospects that we were thinking about coming into this championship with him. So, like, I did not see it being a, not necessarily a runaway, but sort of this early on.
Yeah, I didn't even have Kai down as a title contender.
Really? Not even that?
I had him on the cusp of, like, he'll be there, but not really in it. But he'll be, like, around,
yeah,
but not really.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll be the guy who takes points from the contenders a lot, but just isn't quite in the mix. There is a very long way to go, 54 motos, so a bit early to start making bold claims, but I would argue that whereas I pegged it as Lucas Kunin versus Simon Langenfelder, it is now going to be Kaida Wolf versus Simon Langenfelder.
Hmm.
Would you not agree?
Yeah, I mean, given the way that the point structure is already being
the MXGP website isn't working. So
yeah, I mean, what else is new?
I don't know what's going on.
So on the flip side of DeWolf, who I think we both assume is kind of like our standout so far in MX2 in terms of surprise versus where we thought he'd be, who is your, it's not going anywhere near what you thought it would so far?
What, in MX2?
Yeah.
Well, to be honest, I don't really have one, but one that other people probably expected to go better, Thibaut Beneston.
That was going to be mine.
I don't rate him that highly, so I'm not so shocked, but yeah, he's kind of just not done much, and he really is meant to carry Yamaha to a title.
But that's why I was going to say, because, you know, like, with Yago out now, so...
Hmm?
With Yago moving up now, like, obviously the flag has been passed, so...
So Yamaha have lost Renault and Gertz in MXGP, so they're not winning that championship.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't seem like they're going to win the MX2 championship. It is fairly unlikely they will win a 250SX title this year. Deegan is their only shot, really, and he's on the outside looking in. And then Tomac hasn't really worked out as expected. And Webb is their only shot, but you could argue, well, he's obviously not the favourite to do it. So not great for Yamaha.
Yeah, I don't know that I would say it's not great. Like,
no, just not like they would. If you put those titles in front of them and said you should win, what you do you expect to win at least one of these? They would go, oh yeah, sure.
Your Jeremy Seawerism is showing.
Huh?
I said your Jeremy Seawerism is showing.
Why?
Because he left, and now you just want to hate on Yamaha.
I'm not hating on Yamaha. I'm making a very. This is. I was thinking about this on a drive over, right, to your establishment. Mm-hmm. It's so weird how you can state fact and people argue with it as if you're, like, they almost don't want you to state a fact.
Yeah.
Like, they're almost mad that you chose to point out that fact. And it's like, but how, like, how can you possibly get mad at someone who's just shared a fact?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what it was that made me think this. Something came up. Maybe I was thinking about questions that I would ask Tomac, and that was what happened. But I don't know, yeah, just bizarre.
Bizarre.
Kind of like the Malcolm Stewart discussion.
Let's not go into that right now. We don't need to get there.
But no, yeah, good for Kai. Well done.
Yeah, great good work. For Kai. I haven't been tracking this well enough to know, but was it surprising that Liam was back already?
No, he was always meant to be back.
Really? Because he, I mean...
Liam's really good.
I know he's really good.
But like Liam. Liam is like a... Liam is a good guy. I like Liam.
You like Liam a lot, apparently. Good, three goods.
Yeah, good guy.
A good guy. But yeah, he was always going to be back by this round because he broke his... It was his thumb, right?
Yeah, he had surgery.
No, he had surgery, but dude, it's been like maybe a month since it happened.
Yeah, and came out top five straight away.
Yeah, I was shocked. So do you think that means that given that it was such a quick turnaround, he's already looking as strong as he is, that we can factor him in moving into this season, that he's going to start winning races?
Oh, yeah. Two bold claims. One, Liam Evert could still win the title.
Whoa.
Second bold claim, Liam Evert will beat Andrea Adamo in the championship despite having missed a round.
Who won the second moto, Lewis?
Prado.
Stop it.
He did.
Okay, who won the second MX2 moto?
Oh, sorry. You should have been more specific. Yeah.
Who was that?
I believe that was Adamo.
That was Adamo, indeed. And you think that Liam Evert is going to come from not even at the opening round to beating the guy who just won the second moto this past week?
He almost beat him this past weekend.
I don't know. I think Adamo's probably got him covered at this point, to be honest with you.
Well, you only sponsor Australians.
Yeah. Are we going to get the Adamo edition MX2 bike or what?
How weird. So did you see the Prado edition?
I did see. And it's why 1 in 61?
But why are the numbers so small?
On the side?
No, on the front.
Oh, I didn't notice on the front.
It's not his style of numbers, but it's like not the ratio of like the size of a number versus a plate is off. There's a word for that. Perspective? I don't know. It's bizarre. It's honestly, I almost messaged him and said, what happened with this? And then I figured that I think we're beefing at the moment.
Yeah, because he doesn't like how much you love hurlings. So.
I was wondering why he said he was surprised that I didn't pick him to win Argentina.
It is surprising.
I don't know what these people want.
Oh, man. Okay. Let's move into our final non-moto topic of the day. And yeah, you've talked about this a couple weeks in a row now and said we should just do this. And so this week you're going to do whatever this thing is. And the next week, apparently, I'm going to do it and it's going to become...
We'll see how it goes.
Okay, we'll see how it goes.
It could be a second.
I literally just have it written down as the game because that's what you told me to write it down as. So take it away, Lewis Phillips, whatever this is.
Thank you. Well, the game is like a Trojan horse for therapy with Lewis. So let's start now. So there is a British TV show called Would I Lie to You?
Okay.
Where the person tells a story and then the other person, or the other team in that case, has to ask questions and basically figure out if it's lie or truth.
Okay. Let's hear it.
So we're going to try this. I'm going to give you a story.
Let's hear it. I'm ready.
And you've got to figure it out. I've got to try not to butcher this as well. So yeah, try and figure it out. Ready?
Okay.
When I was in college, my first days in college, why are you staring at me so?
Because what are you? Okay.
When I was in college, my first days in college, my very first essay that was due, my teacher, who previously worked for Google, told me that he was going to call the police because he believed that the entire thing was plagiarized, and he stood me up in front of the class and made an example of me as to how it is unacceptable to break the law. He was fired the next day. It's a lot too.
How many questions do I get?
As many as you want. Okay, 7 minutes.
Your teacher Who worked for Google?
Is he claimed to have worked for Google before his teaching job. Okay. Which, as I told him when we were beefing, being the janitor at Google is nothing to shout about.
Okay. What was this assignment about? Do you remember?
It was ICT, which is information technology, which I don't know what you call it here.
Yeah.
It was an essay on something to do with that subject. I can't remember.
Okay. So it was a topic that theoretically would have like a similar answer to whatever the prompt was about. Like,
It was an essay, so it wasn't a question and answer situation.
Yeah, but there's
a
prompt for an essay. They don't just say write essay.
Sure.
So what was the prompt?
I don't know. It was like a long time ago.
I'm just trying to figure out, like, is there a way that you could have written something that would be similar enough to look like it's plagiarized?
I don't know.
Okay. So you said they accused you of plagiarizing and that they were going to call the cops.
He said, he stood me up in front of the class and said, I should call the police because this man here, Lewis, has plagiarized his entire work. That is unacceptable. So then I just went at him.
You went at him, which means...
Well, we just beefed in front of the whole class and everyone knew.
And then so what did you do next? What was the next step you took?
That's a good question. Probably should have come up with that part of the story.
Sounds like a lie to me.
I reported him to the head of department.
Yeah, like the dean or something.
This man is batshit crazy.
Okay. And the department head then...
said, leave it with me, and he never turned up again. To which the entire class gave me credit for getting him fired.
When did you find out he was fired?
He just didn't show up again.
Didn't show up. There was
were in class,
there was
waiting.
There was no email from the dean, nothing
never
like that.
Never heard from the man again.
So then who took over the class?
The head of department.
The head of the department took over the class. And it was like an IT class information.
Yes.
Thing. Okay.
I got full marks. I was wrong. I was exonerated. Is that
you went to college from like
2013
to 2016.
I honestly have no idea.
2014 to 2017.
I honestly
probably?
Have no idea.
I'm trying to.
No, I was doing GPs in 2017.
I'm trying to think if you would have had like nowadays college professors have like databases that they can interject like a analysis or an essay into, and it would return whether or not parts of it are plagiarized.
He
based
said
on
that
information
in Google he
website.
Handled plagiarism, and so he knew when to spot one from a mile off. I told him he's a prick.
Can you give me a rough year this happened?
I honestly don't know when I started college. 2012, 2013, 2014. 2014, I think.
Okay.
Taking this really in depth.
I think it's a lie.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Well, it was true, Kellen.
Really?
Yes.
Then I'm actually surprised because...
Look at that. I bluffed you.
Well, I mean, I'm surprised that you didn't have an answer of what you did next, and then this is a true story.
Well, so what do you mean what I did next?
You beefed with the teacher, and then you're like, actually, I don't remember what I did next. You're like, I should have come up with that part of the story.
I didn't think that was going to come up.
but like, I'm surprised because I feel like around that area, like all teachers would have had access
to.
This
man was a fucking idiot.
Yeah, but like to say, like, I work for Google, so I know what plagiarism is. Like,
he literally started the first day of class and went, hi everyone. I worked for Google before this, and like, immediately I just was like, well, what the fuck are you doing here then?
What are you doing here then?
Like, honestly, yeah, obviously, like, oh, hi Kellen. I'm doing this LVK podcast. Last week I was working with Elon Musk on SpaceX. I was like the head guy.
Yeah.
You'd be like, why are you here?
I mean, they would, like, a lot of professors out here specifically like to say that to validate why they are teaching.
Well, I called his bluff straight away.
Because, like, when I was in my journalism classes and stuff, professors that I would start a class with would say, hey, you know, like, this is the class, this is the curriculum, by the way, like, I used to work for NBC San Diego and this and that and stuff like that, and now I'm teaching this college course and stuff.
So, hi, everyone. This is ICT, information technology. This is about computers. I used to work at Google. It's like the most basic lie ever.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know what he's doing now. Probably went back to being a janitor at Google.
Janitor. Honestly, did you ever have any problems after this with people criticizing?
Nope.
Never again.
This man just had it out for me.
And this
maybe
was early in your college days? Like right
this was like day, this is the first week. This is like day two.
And no one else in the class got in trouble? Interesting.
When he emailed back our assignments, I just got an email that said, we will discuss this in class. And I was like, well, that's not good. Because then I messaged other people and said, what does your email say? And they're like, oh, B. I was like, oh, well, I haven't even got that far.
Look at you, Lewis, stirring up stuff.
Got an
A+
in the end. Turns out it was so fucking good.
You got someone fired, though, so.
Good.
Good.
Yeah. I'll do the same to you if you cross me.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Let this be a message to all of you.
Yep. Do not cross Lewis Phillips. Mm-hmm. Never.
No, that man, I forgot about that. That man was a fucking idiot. Honestly.
Never criticize Lewis as copying someone else's work.
The best part was when we found out that he'd been fired, everyone in the class was like looking at me. Mm. And I was like,
eh? Well, I mean, everyone in the class saw you have to stand up in front of the class for yourself.
They were just looking at me like, eh? I was slow.
It's a shame that
there's got to be a winner in this game and there's got to be a loser.
It's a shame that this didn't happen like a couple years ago, because simply everyone would have had it on their telephone. So yeah, you would have had proof of this. Unfortunately, we just have to believe that you're telling the truth.
Yep.
Which I still question.
What about this quick little one? When I moved to New Zealand, the first day that I walked into class, my teacher kicked me out because he said he didn't like English people. And I stood outside the class for 30 minutes wondering what I did wrong.
That's a lie.
No, that's true.
That's not true.
Well, I can't even... I walked into my English class, high school this would have been, in New Zealand, first day. He went, oh, hello, I'm Lewis, I'm new. And he went, oh, not another pommy CU word.
Wow, use that in high school.
Yes.
Wow.
Get the fuck out of my class. And I was like, okay.
My gosh, dude. Apparently you have some real... awful
teachers. No, in New Zealand, that's just the way it is. Maybe there's a New Zealander listening to this. But
really, like, New Zealand high school teachers just like use the hard C word.
Chilled, yeah.
Interesting.
He said, not another pommy word. Mm. Word included a C, a U, and a T. That word was cute.
I would not stick up with that if I was your father, to be honest with you.
Well, it's just the way it was the class. It was the way the class was.
Oh, it's just terrible. It's awful. Okay. So this is the game. Do we have a name for it?
No, because we can't be done for plagiarism.
Yeah. Should we do one next week I come up with one and you have to...
I don't know.
I have some good ones I think I could do. So.
Yeah, but that tells me you've just got some good stories that are true.
No. Like ones that I think... So another topic about this then is...
Why are people not sending in submissions for Am I a Dick? Honestly, I cannot believe we didn't have one.
You know, I had someone actually just yesterday say in the show where you said, am I a dick? And then I said, I just clipped that for the soundboard. That's great. And they were like, they literally thought I had clipped it because the very next second you said, am I a dick? The exact same way you just said it like
game.
5 seconds before that.
It's a game. It's got a tone to it. The game is called, am I a dick? Like, that's the way it is.
Well, maybe we need to send that out. That's the Race Tech fan question of the week.
Do that actually next week. There's got to be there's got to be some people who've got some.
Yeah, but
good,
then we have to come up with stories, don't we? Or are you asking those people to tell us their story of something, and then we debate whether?
No,
or
this
not.
Is different. I'm talking about last week's segment.
I know.
Of Am I a Dick?
Right. So you're saying we need to get people to send in their stories of Am I a Dick of something they did, and then we debate whether they were or not.
I want them to be like. I had this falling out with my brother. I cut off all contact. We haven't spoken in 7 years. Am I the dick? That's the type of stuff I want.
Is that what's going to happen with you and your brother after you charged him rent?
I haven't spoken to him since.
Yep. So that's great. Seven years from now.
Stuff like, I want like this to be like what's a show like that in America? In England, it's called the Jeremy Kyle Show.
I don't know.
Like, you know, where they
Reddit.
Have like
Reddit.
No, you know, like where they have like a man and he like solves family issues and stuff. No? I know that I've seen
Dude,
it.
Honestly, I haven't watched TV in like a decade, so.
Okay, well, that's weird.
Like, no, I mean, we're cable cutters. It's our generation. We don't have like cable TV that we just turn on and flip through the channels and say like, oh, what reality TV crap is on now? Like,
it's not real. That's what I want. I want like, I ran over my mother-in-law with a car. She is in hospital. I haven't told anyone it was me. Am I a dick?
Oh, you know, honestly.
That's what I want.
Similar show to that here, but it was way, I think, different than that was the Jerry Springer Show.
I think that's what I'm thinking of.
But the Jerry Springer Show was literally just like, you know, I had sex with my cousin and
yeah,
I didn't know
what,
it or something, like
want,
some stupid
like,
thing like that.
Yeah, so am I the dick because of that or whatever?
Yeah, okay. Some random off the wall
I
thing.
Cut off, I have disowned my child because they did something. Am I the dick? That's
or,
what I want.
Maury was like that. That was a show, but that was more like paternity tests and weird things. I don't know. With American TV.
What if we can get riders?
Riders to send in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or this weekend, if we go around the pits and say, right, give me a... And we can play their soundbite.
Oh.
like, hey, Eli, because you know Eli.
Yeah. He'll come right up and be like, honestly, I've been thinking about this for ages.
Honestly, like, just Eli, if I give me a story where you were a dick and we can debate, you'll love it.
Yeah. No comment. So he would reply with. All right, that's our show. Thanks for tuning in for the EVS Sports LVK More Than Moto topic. Lewis, I thought that was a good show, right? It was a good one.
I don't know.
You don't know.
You're no, this wasn't one of the best.
No?
No.
I thought it was good. I thought our moto topics were decent, and then that was fun banter at the end. So
this wasn't the one of the best.
The good news is the reviews are still very positive. We're getting a lot of people coming up to us at the races saying, love the show, love that, blah, blah, blah. So.
Yeah, it's weird how many people at the races love this show.
Is it? I don't know. It's a good show.
This one wasn't the best.
Yeah, pretty good show tonight. Not too great.
This was 4 to 5 out of 10.
4 to 5 out of 10?
Yes.
Dang, Lewis. You're a harsh critic of yourself.
Well, not just me, you too.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate that. Throw me in there too.
It's not all on me, Kellen.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. LVK More Than Moto. We haven't decided yet. No, we will do one after St. Louis, but we won't maybe do one the week after when there's off week. Okay, so we'll be back after St. Louis Triple Crown action. Should be fun to rehash some topics from that. So thanks, guys, for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.